The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is the Grow Strategist Radio Show, the peer-to-peer program for executives of mid-sized companies. All comments, views, and opinions are solely those of the host, guest, and callers. It's time for the Grow Strategist Radio Show, and here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And this is a peer-to-peer-to-peer program where, you know, I interview presidents of mid-sized companies. And so the peer-to-peer-to-peer part is that the host and the guests and the listeners are all leaders of mid-sized companies. And most of us are in that $20 to $200 million range and may have $1 billion in the back of our minds that we're shooting for. But it's not meant for, you know, absolute beginners of companies, and it's not meant for huge corporations. This isn't that missing middle that seems to be taken for granted. So I'm trying to reach the folks that are so busy that you're not even getting out to some of the seminars and conferences and peer groups. You can learn from each other this way. And every once in a while, I do a solo program. I use the 38 years of experience I have to make some observations about things I'm seeing across the different industries and across the different companies. And today's topic isn't a specific growth strategy. It's not acquisitions or franchising or any of that. Each of my shows is usually focused on a growth strategy of the week. Today I want to talk about, it sounds like I'm talking about strategic planning, but it's really avoidance. I'm noticing with the intensity of what's going on out there, we have this extended recession. And we now have this even longer period of uncertainty that it's caused. It's freezing an awful lot of people, particularly in the mid-market. You have so much more to lose that there is a concern and a conclusion that all you have to do is just put your head down, work harder, hang in there, don't make any changes, wait it out, and something will magically change. And I really have a concern because just working harder at yesterday's business model isn't necessarily going to get you the results you want. And avoiding sitting down and actually talking through some of the big issues and facing some of the tough decisions isn't going to help. I understand it. In fact, some of the discussions about strategy, they can be so upsetting. They can feel like you're going to be overwhelmed and you haven't been overwhelmed for years and it makes you feel like a beginner again. Most of the problems that you've got to talk through weren't your doing. They weren't of your making. You know, how the financial markets imploded 3 years ago now, that it's still affecting all of us, wasn't your fault. The fact that the Middle East is in absolute turmoil and we don't quite know how that's going to go. We do know that the oil prices are going to just jump and already are all over the world. So most of the things that are impacting you, you didn't do. If your business is in Louisiana, and you're dependent on the Gulf and the BP skill, which is a long time ago, is still affecting you, of course. You didn't create some of these things, and it's causing concern. It's causing limited money. It's reducing your chances. It's reducing your choices. And political discussions are making it hard. So I actually understand why there is an inclination to not do strategic planning, not sit and talk about the big problems, not figure out, you know, what might you do, and just keep swimming. But it may not work. So I'm going to be a heretic today, and I'm going to suggest you need to do your strategic planning now more than ever. Because if your team is saying back to you, I've got to get back to my real work, I don't have enough time. I don't have 2 minutes to sit down and figure out something. I can't do any problem solving. That is actually a hint that you have a strategic problem in your business. Like it or not, that is a symptom that you're in trouble. Or if somebody says back, we don't have the cash. There's no way we can put two dimes together to sit down and talk and figure stuff out. Well, if you're that cash tight, you need a strategy discussion just about cash. You follow me? So just ask yourself, if you bring up the idea of strategic planning, even if it's just a retreat, a weekend, where you're going to be, you know, away from the phones and away from day-to-day and away from the customers so that you can think. If the immediate reaction is avoidance, no, we can't. We can't afford it. We don't have the time. We don't have the money. I'm going to do my real work. You need to do it now more than ever. So if you want to do your strategic planning, you may need to change how you do it, because some of the avoidance is not just the big issues. I think it's assumptions about what strategic planning involves. Some folks think that it is analysis paralysis. And other people think that it is this big tome, this long-winded, detailed book. In fact, nowadays, it's like, I don't want to do strategic planning because we're going to have to analyze and figure out how to execute something across the next 3 years, and that's just BS because we don't even know which end is up right now, and so why would we do detailed planning for what's going to happen 3 years from now, and you know, how do we know we're not even going to be bought, sold, merged, combined, you know, if something else is going to happen, quote, to us. And that makes sense. So use your gut. What is that saying to you? It doesn't say, I'm trying to help you here. It doesn't say avoid strategy. It's telling you to avoid some of the analysis paralysis and implementation planning and long-term commitment. Okay? Use your gut. You know that it's not right. And right now, strategy planning is really about a shorter period of time. Okay? You want to make sure that your folks are centered and excited and believe in what the company's doing. And if there isn't a rallying cry, if there isn't a unified vision approach to how you're going to be handling even the next 6 months, you could end up spending too much money on things that aren't connected. You can waste a lot of time and be inefficient because people are worried or wonder if they're doing the right thing, where they have this deep-seated worry that something isn't going to work and it was an exciting idea and they couldn't see it. So here's my first suggestion. If you really do a gut check and ask yourself, are the key people in your business believing in the strategy, believing in the decisions, confident this is the right thing to do, then if they are, I mean, if you really feel like this group is excited, they're on a roll, then whatever your strategy for this month might be to do whatever you need to do to reinforce that. That may be your primary strategy, your number one thing. Think about City Slickers movie and the curly character sitting there on the horse with this one finger up, and he says, you got to figure out your one thing. Okay, your one thing for this month could be get rid of doubt. Because people being excited and believing in what they're doing and following through and having some confidence makes you money. It's when people do things halfway or they wonder or they hold back that a great strategy doesn't work. So if your gut tells you that everybody is excited, you've got the right thing, you're figuring out the right thing, you know where you're going, then it makes sure that enthusiasm is there so that it can kick butt and really make it pay off. Second piece of advice starts with the same step. But if you do a gut check and you can tell that your people are really wondering, they've got doubt, they don't know, is this going to work? They're not asking questions. They may go out for beers later on and they go, I don't think this is right. And the old man doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, I could run this better. And there's that look in their face when they come in the morning. In fact, do your gut check by watching how your top execs look when they come in the morning. Are they psyched? Are they getting sick? Are they looking droopy? Are they looking tired? Is the clothing starting to show that they're a bit disheveled? Disheveled look sometimes is the disheveled mental. You see it? Do the gut check. If your top group's in trouble, even if you're scared of convening and sitting down and talking, you have to do it. Leaving people stranded and not, you know, sure themselves costs you money. So even if you don't have an agenda and you don't even know what it's all going to work out to, do it quickly. Get your group together, and your primary topic is, you know what? Look around the room. We don't look excited. We look worried. We look tired. I wonder, you know, what we're missing. Can we at least get out? What are we worried about? What are we wondering about? Where do we have doubts? Start a layer at a time if you have to. I'm not saying it's a bitch session. It's not a whining session. It's an honest look at what are they worried about? What part of strategy that your company's doing or direction do they have the least confidence in? And you could rank order them and say, okay, as we keep working, you know, life goes on, we're going to address the biggest things we're worried about. So, for example, people who have nothing to do with getting financing. They're not the CFO, they're not the president, they're not the CEO, they're not running the numbers. They could be so scared that the banks aren't giving you money, that, you know, the interest rate's too high, and cash won't be there. That interferes with a salesperson committing and going after big accounts. In the back of their mind, they don't know if the company can get money. It interferes with people in production because they don't know if they're going to be able to get the parts, the stuff, the people, the time, the inventory. You got to make sure that they're not worried. So more disclosure about here's where we're at with something important like financing. Here's what we're doing. Do you think we're missing anything? Opens people up and they have a chance to contribute. They're already worried anyway. Keeping it secret and acting like there's nothing wrong doesn't help. It does not help. So do it in layers. If there's something that people are worried about, there's a chance, that a good chance. I'm seeing this. This is one of the reasons I'm doing the show. There's a good chance that some of your people are worried about things they don't need to worry about. I'm seeing more fretting and worrying and wondering and waiting and wishing they knew more now than I've seen in a long, long time. This is not the time for secrets. It truly isn't. People are more worried about a bad result than whatever your real news is. I've seen sessions where, you know, the execs sit down and they say, okay, tell me what you're worried about, what are you wondering about, what do you need to know? And it turns out the salespeople and the operations people and the marketing people were so scared to death and absolutely convinced that money was so tight and they were not going to have a good line of credit and the company was deep in debt, and it wasn't true. So two pieces of advice, both start with the gut check. Take a look at the behavior, the eyes, the energy, the belief system, the body language, everything. Ask yourself if your top people are excited, enthusiastic, confident, and believe in where the company's going, or are they worried? Your response is going to be different depending on what you see and conclude. Either way, you need to do something right now, not avoid. And I will be so bold as to remind you that if you're reluctant to do these sessions, people like me that have been doing these for years can help. You're still the exec. You're still the president of the company. The bonding needs to be between you and your executive team, and it remains your decision. But sometimes having an expert come in that can't be BS'd, that's seen an awful lot of strategies, that can ask some tough questions, and does help, and it brings a newness to the discussion. And frankly, if a strategy and ideas and the direction makes sense to someone who's got a long time of experience, if it does, it is cohesive, if it does work, and if it does come together, it can help your team get excited. So what I've been doing lately, even more than normal, is the rehearsal for action. You can't have a consultant come in that's going to embarrass you or surface a whole series of problems that you haven't been addressing or you weren't ready to deal with. That's not a consultant. That's an insultant. But a real consultant would sit there and go over, you know, do the document review, do some interviews, do some research so that they were ready and up to speed, and holds the session and says, why don't we go through the major steps of strategy? Where are you now? Where are the vulnerabilities? And what are you doing about it? And if there is cohesion in what you're already doing, it was still worth the time to get the affirmation, to get the, yeah, we're on track, we're not missing anything. And if there was a key piece of your strategy that was missing, you need to know. This is the Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler. We'll be right back with me telling you about four ways to do strategic planning that makes you money right from the beginning. This is the Growth Strategist, Eldonna Ambler. I'll be right back.
Each week, I download the Growth Strategist into my iPod to listen to while I'm on the treadmill at the gym, because the host, Eldonna Ambler, knows what's on my mind as president of a $50 million company. With 30-plus years of experience as an award-winning entrepreneur and consultant, plus 6 years hosting her weekly radio talk show, she knows what she's talking about. And when it comes to acquisitions, succession, growth financing, franchising, going public, joint ventures, global product launches, you name it. And her candid interviews with the presidents of Midsize Company provide great examples and ideas.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand, all from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. Today I'm talking about how do you stop avoiding strategic planning. Okay, one of the key things that I'm suggesting that you think about is separate the phrases. It's strategic thinking first. Why worry about implementation planning if you're not centered and you don't have a strategy? So just forget the implementation planning for a second. What I'm focused on is strategy. Okay, now that takes a little bit of looking into the, you know, the details of what your situation is, but that can be done quickly. Either the patterns are there or they're not, and they just are. I'm going to give you an analogy you might not be expecting, but here we go. You know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer not that long ago. Okay, so, you know, this is something that happens to an awful lot of people. It's one out of, I think it's something like 3 women in Staten Island, and it's 1 out of 7 of the women in the mid-Atlantic states. And, you know, it's pretty prevalent. It's not fun to get the diagnosis, but it just is. And it's just facts, and it's just tests. And you can get all upset about it and get yourself worked up, and you can try to avoid, but it won't help. And it just is data. And if you can get that way, just, you know, something about cancer, where you know you need to get it out of you, you know you need to deal with it and move on. There's a lot of things that are like that in business. Now, in my case, you know, I had to have surgery, lymph nodes were taken, you did a whole bunch of radiation, it made me a little tired for a while. Hello, I'm fine. Okay, and I'm aware of it, so now I have to make sure that I don't have a recurrence, and we'll do what we can. I have a low risk of recurrence. Now, that was smart. Same thing with strategy right now, folks. Some of it is going to feel like you discover you've got a cancer, you've got a cash issue, or you've got a long-term employee that really isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You've got a big account that's acting like they own you, and they didn't acquire you, they didn't pay the money, but they act like they own you. You've got high turnover. You've got, you know, you've got something that is like cancer, and working around it or denying it or trying to cope with it instead of deal with it is too expensive right now. There's an awful lot of things that people have been tolerating for years that when you hit times like now that are so dynamic with wonderful technology changes and exciting changes in what markets are doing, they may not feel exciting to you. It may look like, oh, my gosh, the customers are increasing even more what they want from us. Oh, my goodness, I bought a computer, I bought some software, and I'm already out of date. Hear your attitude. If all the dynamic stuff right now doesn't feel like opportunity to you, you may have cancer in your business. You follow the analogy? Okay. So what I'd like you to think about is change the mindset to strategy. It's strategic thinking. And one way for your strategic thinking to make you money right away is to make sure that it addresses a big problem that is your cancer. It's like there's all kinds of phrases related to this, the white elephant in the room. Why not now? instead of tolerating something and having it linger and working around it and making more problems even worse than ever, this is the time to address it. People behind you are waiting for you to do it. Why not? So an approach you can take to strategic planning, I call it a catalyst approach. You know, our companies have been working with rapidly growing mid-sized businesses for over 30 years. So you, nobody can wait for the strategy sessions to be done to make some changes. So we work in parallel. This is why I'm talking like this, because there is a way to do this. So you can make sure that you're doing addressed, you know, focused problem solving parallel to the strategic planning. So as you're looking at the future and what you could create and what the possibilities are, you also build in let's address whatever it's been that's been a long-term problem. Okay, what if it's been turnover? Some companies, you know, they got a great core strategy. They got a wonderful core product. The potential is there. They're making a huge difference in the world. There's profitability just waiting to be tapped. And for some reason, they just have high turnover. Every time they turn around, they're having to hire, they're having to train, and here we go again. And the last department head they put in disappointed, and somebody else they thought was going to work out, and then they moved to California and start having kids in a family. And, you know, there's reasons for every one of them, but you can't deny the pattern. You've got high turnover. Okay, one of my clients, when they actually faced it, actually focused, they actually relocated their business. Even if it wasn't the town that they were in that was causing the high turnover, their staying in that town was septic because the search agencies, the part-time people, the staffing firms, they were a joke. They weren't going to, you know, you'd call up and you'd say you were from that company, and they'd say, oh, are you kidding? We can't place anybody in your firm. Look, give me your resume because in a couple of weeks I'll be placing you. And it became too funny. It is disruptive. It's not fun. But it was the most freeing thing these people ever did. This was about 5 years ago. It was before the unemployment rates were as high as they are now. But still, if you have a chronic thing that is coloring people's views, it is a reputation, it is cancer, you may need surgery. And a complete change, something that makes you feel new, may be exactly what you need. Same thing with family businesses, okay? Long-term problems between a couple of siblings. One is ambitious, the other is lazy. They fight, and you have stop-start strategy all the time. One minute it looks like you're going to have sales, and the next minute the sales manager is coasting and asking employees to wash his car and paint his deck instead of working. I've seen this a bunch of times. Okay, in this marketplace, in this dynamic marketplace where everybody's worried anyway, leaving brothers fighting and stop-start at the top, this is not the time to do that. It's cancer. You may need surgery. This may be the time to get it over with. Have one brother buy out the other brother. You've been dancing with each other, fighting with each other, interfering with each other long enough. Dragging it out and having it compromise some neat new thing that you're doing isn't a good idea. So I have seen some people who take the catalyst approach to strategic planning and make some dramatic moves. One of my clients, they had a, how do I describe this? The lead person was definitely getting to the point where they're getting tired. They're starting to get sick. And too many of the customers are dependent on this lead person. Ironically, it could feel like it's bad news. This is, you know, something that's really a problem, and these clients are so dependent. Well, you know, it can feel like, a real big problem and negative. Turns out what we instituted was an ESOP. We instituted, you know, we suggested, okay, have the employees buy the company out, and over the next 5 years, because it's going to be passed to people who really care about the business, the folks that are wanting to bond with the customers, the folks that believe in the business, the folks that still are loyal to the boss. Why not? And it's less disruptive than having somebody else buy you or just retire or let go or worry yourself to death. In that case, the treatment didn't take surgery, but it did take talking it through and actually making a decision. So one of your approaches to strategic planning for it to truly make you money is to pull the trigger on something that's big, that you know is wrong. There's a business partnership that I'm dealing with in about a year ago, and the people were fighting all the time. They weren't, you know, it's not a partnership with brothers or something. It wasn't a family relationship. But over a period of time, the partnership eroded, and they were arguing all the time. They even had a contract for, you know, one of them to not come in every day because the person was so mad, they were disruptive. They didn't go far enough. They didn't go far enough. They have an angry partner that still had say, hello, instead of extending that problem into where, you know, what you need to do now, they had to have a partner buy the other one out. Who are you kidding? You follow what I'm saying? Okay, so one way to have your strategic planning pay, make you money right away, is if you've got cancer, get the surgery. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldona Ambler. I'll be right back.
I am the president of a $20 million business, so my schedule is packed. But I discovered that it pays to log on to the Growth Strategist, especially when the company is considering major changes to our business model, looking for ways to spark innovation, considering a merger, reviewing distribution channels, or weighing the pros and cons of further diversification. Aldona Ambler is in her seventh year of hosting The Growth Strategist, so I can even go to the archives to download several previous shows related to the challenges currently facing my business.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldona Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldona Ambler. And today I'm talking about ways to stop avoiding doing strategic thinking. Forget the word implementation planning. Start with strategic thinking. And I'm describing ways that you can have your strategy sessions make you money right away. And so I've described, you know, a catalytic approach where you really attack some of the chronic problems. I mean, come on, stop the denial. Fix the things where you've been tolerating nonsense for way too long anyway. In this type of dynamic market and with the economy the way it is, you know, tolerating things that you know are wrong is too expensive, and it's self-inflicted pain. Doesn't make any sense. This is the time to stop it. All right, now, some other things I'm seeing, it's a different approach, and I'm going to call it the insight method. And here's what happens. There's a number of companies that have hit plateaus. Ask yourself if your company has been hovering around the same dollar volume. And it was hovering around that same dollar volume before the recession hit. And even with some of the changes in technology or changes in demands of what the customers are doing, you admit it, you're still at kind of a set point. You're at a plateau. You're at a stubborn point. 9 times out of 10, folks, that is not external. You know, explained by external issues. That's explained by internal things. So I'm going to give you some examples. What I call it is insight. What happens is the top group of people have come up with some strategies, they've made some decisions, and the premise around which the business has been running basically works up to the scale that you're at. In distribution, a lot of times companies top out at 20. That's the phrase. They hit about $20 million, and then it's tough to get past 20 to 22 million. It's kind of interesting to see that there's these set points. And there's a lot of companies that have that. So think about your industry. What's the plateau? All right, so I'm going to give you three examples. One was a business that had topped out at about 22. Real aggressive president, a favorable family owner who was supportive of the group, you know, invested money, didn't interfere. You know, they had the right formula. And what we noticed when we came in to do strategic planning was that there were about 12 to 13 managers that were psyched about the business, hardworking, had good attitudes, but they just didn't know enough. They didn't really understand the specifics of what truly drives gross profit, and especially if you're in a distribution company, coming down to the specifics of 0.12, you know, the details on the gross profit matters. And something that an individual branch manager would do could change gross profit dramatically. What a purchasing manager did definitely affected gross profit. What the people in the project side of the house did would affect gross profit. So the point is, we did the strategic planning in an educational kind of way. There was a little more open book about the business's numbers, especially all the way down to the gross profit piece. That means that they didn't have to know about day-to-day rent. They didn't have to know about executive pay. They didn't have to deal with the business insurance policy or how much was paid to an accountant. All that operating expenses was still the purview of the top people, the owner and the top exec. That wasn't completely open book. But the stuff that the people who were in the management team, what they could affect on a day-to-day basis, was as transparent as it could possibly be. Now, they signed some agreements about, you know, non-compete, non-disclosure. You don't talk about this to, you know, to other people. If we're going to disclose this kind of information to you, you know, you really shouldn't be quitting here and go work for somebody else and teach them all this stuff. They tried that, okay? But the excitement, the energy of people being, you know, that the company was believing in them, that they could learn, that they could know the information, they could try some stuff and track it and see if it works, was a change that was exponential. And the second thing that we discovered with that particular company was that their relationship with the vendors was adversarial, kind of unnecessarily so. And these were linked problems. The absence of information about what really drives gross profit and what you can and can't change was leading to a blame game to the manufacturers, and it wasn't necessary. Long story short, it ended up being they learned how to have the manufacturers fund their marketing because the partnership was so, you know, improved so much. And this particular company that I'm talking about went from $22 million and blew past $100 million during a recession. It's not always the external issues that stopped you. So ask yourself, have you been at a plateau for a while? It's not necessarily just the economy. Is it that the key people in your business don't really know enough and they need to have kind of like a mini course? I find another company that I'm dealing with right now, all right, that when we started to talk with them about the niche that they're in, wonderful niche, and they've been focusing on one individual state. It turns out when you start doing the research about what's available in other states in the United, just in this country, you discover that there are gaps. There's a need that the primary people who are leading this industry are retirees that are dabbling in it, and there isn't any glue. There isn't one company that is bringing in the best of the best and doing the account management and managing the marketing and having a system. Oh, my goodness, this is just fabulous news. What an opportunity for this company to go national. Now, they have to do it slowly so they don't scare themselves. But there's a need that's beyond just their local area. There's a need for the whole nation to have this glued-together company that can really help. Wow, how exciting. There's going to need to be some education all the way around. First place we've had to start is the model. What's the difference between an account exec, an account manager and an associate and a consulting specialist and an assistant? What's the dollar rate for each one? What's the template for the proposals so that everybody knows what to expect? How do you really ensure gross profit? All those kind of numbers. And, you know, and there's some business people that are wonderful at what they're doing, but, you know, they're not so focused on that being an accountant. They don't have to become the CFO, but they have to understand the numbers. And if the strategy of this business is to be really great at marketing and have a good system and be in leaders in account management, they got to get themselves centered. They've got to grow up. They've got to learn that. So the first phase isn't launching and becoming national overnight. It's education. It's a little scary, sometimes not as much fun, but there is potential for this business to dramatically grow through education. Isn't that exciting? Third example. There's a company that has, you know, I can't give you the specifics. I'd be telling you too much about which company is doing these kind of things. So I apologize for saying this company and that company and being vague. I can't say the names. Okay, so there's another one that is on the edge of really making a big difference for its clients. They make a lot of money in the specific service that they currently do. And when we did some, you know, research and our strategic assessment, discovered that their relationship with their clients is so wonderful. They really know how to bond. Isn't that great? I mean, people give their eye teeth to have that. Their clients trust them. Their clients look forward to the calls. Isn't that cool? And see them in a much broader role. And the irony is the owner of this company was sticking to, okay, here's our one service and here's the one thing we can do. Well, why? Leverage the trust. Leverage the fact that the client might be able to tell you even more about their needs, even more about where they're headed, and the service that came before what you currently do and the service that comes after what you currently do may become part of your portfolio. All right, so you have expanded, you know, lines of business. You have some other things that you're working on. You hear it? To do that, you need some information about what the market really wants. You need to get, you know, be specific about who's providing the services before what you've been doing, who's normally providing the services after you've been doing. But start, you could expand what you're doing in the existing customer base and not have to run around trying to find your next account so much. You can be, you know, upselling the existing accounts. But it takes some research. It takes some insight about what your company needs, and it takes some insight about what your customers need. Get it? It's education, it's research, it's learning. Before you shoot yourself in the foot, before you get too excited, before you spend too much money, it's expanded research. And it's very exciting for people. You know, they can see potential. They can see improvement of the business. They're on a roll. They get to try things. They have meetings that have some meat to it. It's very exciting. A lot of work. But that insight method of strategic planning can clearly make you money. It makes you money right now because it opens up the discussion between you and the customers, you and your employees, you and your accounting. It wakes you up to, you know, you could be walking away from opportunity. Wow, that could start making you money. This client, by the way, they landed one account that let them do the work before their core service and after their core service. That one account is paying for all the strategic planning they're doing the whole year. All right, I got one more segment here, and I'm going to go back to another method of strategic thinking that makes you money right from the beginning. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
It pays to listen to the Growth Strategist if you are an executive running a mid-sized company. As the CEO of a $75 million business, I like to listen to the first segment of each show when Aldana Ambler provides practical advice about the growth strategy of the week. There's no fluff in her interviews. Her guests are all presidents or CEOs of companies between $20 million and $200 million a year. Aldana's candid interviewing style reveals how they executed their ESOP, made their acquisitions work, timed their initial public offering, or obtained growth financing. Aldana Ambler's show helps bring out the growth strategists in us.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The modern world has experienced fundamental era changes from the industrial age to the information age to the age of complexity. Technology and globalization are rapidly changing the world we live in. Yet our way of thinking and the conversations that drive our decisions are stuck in the past. To find prosperity, Business and communities need the skills to learn new ways of thinking and find the right conversations to move comfortably into the future. How can you sort it all out? Tune in to The Science of Change with Dr. Barbara Berry and Lise Inman, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And today I'm talking about ways to stop avoiding strategic thinking and hold your strategy sessions accountable to making you money early on, not just, you know, helping you long term. Make sure you do it in a way that starts making you money so you don't avoid. Okay, so the third way. I've already talked about a catalytic approach, which means you really attack some of these chronic recurring problems. You know it's an issue. Come on, face it. Second way is insight. That's when you do some research and some education to really raise the bar and the capabilities of your people so that they can do some things. They can, you know, tackle the technology, expand their services, make a difference, grow the business. You don't end up on a self-imposed plateau. All right. Now, the third one that I've used before, and I want you to hear, and, you know, this is something to think about, is if you have some problems with teamwork. In other words, you've got silo behavior between the departments. They're competing with each other. Your folks are not as cooperative as they need to be. Communication is clumsy. You're not sure about how decisions are made, and there's indecision and fear. You know the issues. We've all heard them. I'll give you the stereotype. A lot of the family-owned businesses, they'll have conflicts over succession. Or they will have competition among the siblings, or they'll have the, it looks like the family members are getting preferential treatment and acting entitled, and then the non-family members feel like they're disrespected and they're not going to have a good career. I just want you to hear, okay, it's behavioral stuff, all right? If your strategy doesn't help advance you, doesn't help solve some of those issues, doesn't improve decision making, doesn't, you know, clarify direction, if it doesn't reduce confusion. There's a lot of C words involved with behavior: communication, conflict, confusion, clarity, communication, you know, the C words. Approach your strategic planning this year with that in mind. If you know that's your Achilles heel, if you know that that's something that you need to improve, if you come up with a real exciting strategy, brand new product or expanded marketplace or a new technology platform or acquiring companies or franchising, you got some neat ideas, you're tying your hands behind your back if you haven't addressed some of the communication issues internally. So go about the strategic planning with somebody who is helping you. It can be the psychologist types, the organizational psychologist types that can be helping everybody, you know, specify, clarify the roles. I'll give you an example. When we've come in with family businesses that are really trying to grow, one of the things that they need is to draw the distinction between what does the family council do versus what does the board do versus what does the management team do versus what does the president do. And when those things are all fuzzy, you can't tell who you're waiting for the decision from, and everybody becomes a bottleneck. And when it starts to get spelled out, I mean, that's worth doing. One company that we did this with, it was so exciting because they didn't even realize that they could have a family council and that there are issues that are specific to the family and not just the business. And they created a foundation, and they can do a lot of their philanthropy. They actually created a fund that was for paying for the family members they wanted to employ who really weren't up to snuff, and the business shouldn't be paying for them. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes family businesses can kind of become a welfare state, and it can look like it's, you know, the purpose of the business is to hire the otherwise unemployable relatives. That is demoralizing to employees and to everybody can see that that's just a lie. So when you separate it and you have a family council that feels that they're the care and feeding and the nurturing and the permanency and the safety of relatives is what they want to do, okay, if it's a separate fund and it's almost like a scholarship, it's like a grant behaviorally, it is so much more freeing to the company, to the president, everybody, because when they start looking at the numbers and they can see things make sense and it's not all getting siphoned off into the dysfunctional family, it is exciting. How did they see that? They created a real family council. Okay? Another type of clarity can be who has the decisions just on a day-to-day basis. Clarifying the control, the amount of authority that the president has can be very freeing. Especially in a business where there have been multiple people in the president's role, and so they have a fuzzy view of what kind of president do we have today, just spelling out, you know, what's the span of control? There's something called strategic management. Some people call it responsibility charting. It's a real neat, easy technique. It helps people figure out where they got stuck. What you do is you make a grid, a spreadsheet, and you take a process that's gotten all bogged down. Sometimes the purchasing gets bogged down. Sometimes the processing an order gets bogged down. Sometimes the proposal process gets bogged down. Whatever you're having trouble with, you break down the individual steps of the process. And you know, I find that if you write down more than 10 steps, you got too big a deal going on. You know, the 10 major steps in the proposal process. Let's try that one. And the grid has for the columns, it has the primary roles of the company. So it would have the president, and it would have the vice president of sales, the vice president of marketing, and then each of the individual roles, the salespeople and maybe the operations folks, you just all across the top are the roles of the business. And what you fill into the chart, into this spreadsheet, are letters. A is for authority, that, you know, that person has the authority to make the decision. R is responsibility. That means that they make it happen. Sometimes they didn't have the authority to say, you know, yes, you've got the budget, but they have the responsibility to make it happen. Okay, and C is consulting. You know, somebody that must be consulted because they have some technical say or they have a relationship or something that's going on that affects it. And I is informed. Okay, if you can't tell who has the authority, who's responsible, who's going to be consulted and who's informed. If you don't know that, you can get all tangled up. And what's interesting when you do one of these spreadsheets, it's fascinating. You start watching for step number one of a process. Okay, you can tell who's got the authority. You kind of know who's responsible, and you think about, all right, now wait a minute, who do we have to consult? All right, we only have to inform these people. If you have a few folks that are involved in a process, like proposals, draft these spreadsheets separately, compare. And you can look at the differences and you go, oh, my goodness, look at this. I thought so-and-so was responsible, and you think this other person's responsible. Oh, my goodness, look, we're always having to go back to the president who has authority over everything. That doesn't make any sense. How come there isn't any authority delegated? It surfaces the discussion. It makes it facts. It makes it something you can discuss, and it problem-solves things right away. Now, the point of this is your strategy session allowing you to start synthesizing, building teamwork, improving communication, being faster, better, clearer? Or is it just some vague conversation about the outside? All right, what I want you to think about is stop avoiding your strategic planning. Look at it as strategic thinking. There are at least three ways, catalytic, insight, and synthesis. Those are trademarked phrases that we use, but you get the idea. One is problem solving, one is research, and one is team building. Can you build those methods into how you approach your strategy so you can start making money right now? All right, I end the show the way I normally do. I'm going to give you a couple things. Contact information, if you have any questions or suggested guests that you want to send my way, it is aldona@ambler.com, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at A-M-B-L-E-R.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. I had too many telephone numbers, so if someone's dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. And I always end the show with the same thing, because my wish for you is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. And remember that the secret to that is to reverse the phrase. First, you need to know what drives your profitability. And having a chronic problem that is, you know, holding you back doesn't drive your profitability. It stifles it. Having absence of information about what the market is doing or what your managers need to know doesn't drive your profitability. It holds you back. Having confusing teamwork, poor communication, siloed behavior, lack of clarity about who's supposed to do what doesn't drive your profitability. It holds you back. Got to address that first, folks. Got to address those things first, because the secret to the phrase is first know what drives your profitability, then be able to sustain it. Then you can talk about growth strategies like acquisitions and franchising and geographic expansion and all that fancy stuff, and then hit the step on the gas. But if you have some things that are tying your hands that stifle profitability, it's time to address it. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, signing out.
You've been listening to the Growth Strategist Radio Show. Tune in every Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, for a new episode.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.